of the nations are idols. Now, the terminology here, all the gods, little g, all the gods of the nations, is he saying there are other gods? No, that's what he's saying is they worship idols. They're, you know, to them, they're gods, but they're nothing. You know, they're statues, they're altars, whatever you might say, but there's nothing real. You know, it's not a real God. There's only one God. Verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. How can I make God stronger? I have a good question. Y'all don't have an answer to it? Okay. So bringing others to, so the first thing I can do to make God stronger is to surrender to Him, right? And so extending His impact, extending His influence, extending His power, you know, into more lives. That's how we make God stronger. So, you know, it's not about Him, you know, flexing His muscles, but it's about Him having more influence, more people about. Verse 8, give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. What is due Him? Praise Him. Praise Him for the sunrise, the sunset, the rainbows, the clouds, the force of nature. Even though it's so destructive sometimes, it's incredible that God, you know, has made this such power. And we take for granted what God can do. And again, let me say, when it comes to all of these natural forces, God started it and let it go. So I'm on a microphone, I'd be loud anymore. Okay. No. But God put it all into being, but God's not up there stirring the waters to make hurricanes, you know, or stirring the air to make tornadoes. That's not what God does. But He's got that power. And, you know, again, and when we pray and God does other things, you know, he can move the mountain. He can. Verse number 8, give unto the Lord glory due to His name, bring an offering and come into His courts. Verse 9, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. To just imagine the perfection of God, the sinlessness of God, the righteousness of God. He is perfect. Verse 10, say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. So I know it's hard for us and we don't want to animate all of creation when we talk about the skies, but the Bible says the heavens declare His handiwork. You know, we look at these things and we see God. God thought of that. Isn't that incredible? God just thought of it. He just spoke it and it was. Let the field be joyful. And all that is therein, then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. How does a tree rejoice? Right? It does what it does, right? You ever see an oak tree trying to be a pine tree? Just does what it's created to do. And it's our problem is, you know, now we've got this. Are we online now? Okay, good. Just making sure. But now we've got this ridiculous idea, these children that think they're cats. They don't think they're cats. All right? It's a game. It's imagination. But the society has embraced this nonsense and we're allowing this to develop into a critical, unbelievable mental illness by embracing dumb ideas. And instead of saying, no, you're a boy, you're a girl, and act right and do right and talk right and sit up straight and all that, instead of making them do what's right, we say, okay, you're a puppy. No, that's ridiculous. The trees are trees, and they don't try to be anything else. That's how they praise God, by being what they were created to be. And so what about for us? How do we rejoice? How do we praise God? By being who God created us to be, by being what God created us to be, not trying to be something that we're not. Psalm 97, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, not just his handiwork, but his righteousness. How? How is that? How do the heavens declare his righteousness? I imagine all of these calculations that they have to do at NASA when they want to launch a rocket. And even just aeronautical, just an airline pilot and all those aerodynamics, the people who design these planes and jets and all that, and even helicopters. And all of the calculations and all of the figuring that they have to go into to all the formulas to make that work and to make it work just right. And guess what? It's science. You know who made science? God did. God did it. And so all of this stuff that we're, you know, gravity and force and all of those things that we try to manipulate for our purposes, God made it that way. And it's incredible. It's amazing. And so it declares his righteousness. There's order in creation. There is order to it. What happens when you plant corn? What comes up? Isn't that incredible? We say that's simplicity. That's the greatness of it. That's the righteousness of it is God's way works. The stars in their place, the sun, the moon in their place, the tide as it flows, high and low tide through the day, and the waves crash onto the shore and then they go back where they came from. Right? Even after the flooding and the storms that we're experiencing right now, even with all of that, when you came out on, I don't know when you got up on Friday morning, but when I got up at 3 o'clock on Friday morning, the world was back in order again. The chaos was gone, at least in the skies. It all just went back to normal. Why? Science. God did that. And so, you know, it came through and it kept on going. And that's the science. This is righteousness. Science. You can calculate it. You can formulate it. You can understand it. Meteorologists, well, okay. Not all of them. But you can look at the depth of the water and the warmth of the water and the twisting of the skies, and you can say, this is probably what's going to happen. Here's a high, here's a low, here's a front, you know, it's pushing it this way, and they can kind of figure out where it's going. Why? Science. The righteousness of God. Because he set the world in order, and it works. Yes, from time to time in that comes something that we didn't expect. But you know what? It's never out of order. A tornado, though it may be damaging and frustrating, it's part of the environment that God made. It's righteous. God is righteous. 98 verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. What can we praise him for today that we didn't have yesterday, that we couldn't praise him for yesterday? Something new, something different, something that we appreciate, causing us to appreciate these things that are in our lives and that come into our lives and recognizing God had a hand in it. God had a hand in it. His right hand, his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Verse 2, the Lord hath made known his salvation. He has made it known. Again, and the question was asked last week or week before, what about those who have never heard? His salvation is made known. He hath made it known. He has delivered the message. Yes, we have responsibility as his ambassadors, as his church. But God declares himself over and over with his righteousness, his holiness, with order, with science. He has made known his salvation. Verse 9, before the Lord, let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. What does that mean? It means that God's going to judge righteously and fairly. He's going to judge fairly. He's going to judge all of us fairly. And we'll know, you know, so if our lives do not allow us to do the things that we see other people do because we just can't do it, God's not going to hold it against us. If God didn't call you to be a missionary to the Congo, that's not going to be a penalty against you. You say, oh, I just wish I could go to the Congo and be a missionary. But if God didn't call you to do it, he's not going to equip you to do it, and he's not going to hold it against you that you didn't do it. Say, well, I just wish I could sing like Sister Claretta, right? God said, well, he didn't give you the voice he gave her, so he won't hold it against you, right? Those kind of things. And so we might see somebody else that's doing what they're supposed to do. Again, the pine tree doesn't try to be an oak tree. Just be what you are. Just be what God made you to be, and you'll be judged in that. You'll be judged in that. Psalm 99, verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Answer to prayer. If we just trust him, what did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't know what today brings. Don't know what tomorrow brings. But I know I'm going to trust him. Just going to trust him. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. A lot of people, when they're singing, they focus on that part about noise. He said, joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. What is a joyful noise? Happy? What is it? Remember when Jacob met Rachel at the well? Y'all remember that? Genesis? What's that? His heart skipped a beat. He got AFib. Right? First note of it in the Bible. Right? His heart... You know, his heart skipped a beat or got an extra beat. It leaped, right? Leapt. What happened? He hollered out. He was, whoo! He saw her. He was impressed. You know why? Because he was out there among the shepherds. And usually when you think of a shepherd, what do you think of? Some old grungy guy, right? Hadn't had a bath in a couple of weeks. And here comes this woman. Ooh, what a woman. And he said, woo! And he kissed her. Y'all remember that? It says he kissed her. That's the kissing cousins because they were related, right? But as that shout, that expression, that vocal expression, make a joyful noise. You know, we come in church every once in a while, you know, somebody will say something, somebody will say, amen. And we always like it when the preacher comes in and begs for the amens. Amen, say amen. Right? But when you say amen, I like to have people in church when I'm preaching. If you agree with it, say so. I don't even care if you say whoo, all right? But that's a joyful noise. Praise God. And that's one thing that we, a lot of us, have lost, is that unrestricted praise. We've restricted ourselves so much. We have become so formal because we're afraid somebody else is going to say something. And the opposite end of that is people that praise God because they want people to recognize them. Don't do that. Don't praise God so that people will hear you do it. But praise God. Man, if you get excited, be excited. I mean, I'll stop. Give you a chance to have a fit. All right? Pentecostal. And I do believe that's what's scared so many people from that is because we were cautioned so much about Pentecostals that we stopped saying anything. But I can tell you that there are a lot of great churches and great independent Baptist churches out there. And if you walked in there, you'd be surprised how much energy they've got in the congregation. But we need to have it. Make a joyful noise. Praise God. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, here we are. We come into God's house and we have this routine of what we do. But he said, praise him with singing. Sing. Sing a new song, he said. Sing. When you're by yourself, sing. When you're out and about, sing. When you're in God's house, sing. But praise God. He likes it. He likes to hear it. He likes to hear that. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. You know, so as a nation, you know, look at America. We think about America and we see the providence of God, even, you know, to George Washington with the holes in his jacket, the bullet holes in his jacket, but never entered his body. How did that happen? What does that mean? It means that God was watching over him. It means there was providence. It means that God was intervening. That's what it means. That God was doing tremendous, unbelievable things. That's what it means. And so know that it's him. He's made us. He made you. He made me. He's brought us together as a church. He brought a nation to about, and he called it Israel. He brought a nation about. He called it America. And so here we are. Know that God had a hand in it. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. I've seen some posts this week about loose horses and loose cows. And they'll put a note up that says, anybody know whose horse this is? Anybody know whose cows these are? And, you know, sometimes they just want to go for a walk. But unless they're disoriented, you know what they will do? They'll go home. Unless they're disoriented and just get lost. You know, a dog every once in a while take off after a deer and gets to a place. He looks around. He says, I have no idea where I am. But most of the time, what do? They find their way home. Whether you want them to or not, they find their way back. And so he says, what? We are his pasture. We belong with him. He's our shepherd. And we need to be home with him. Verse 4, enter his gates. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So I want you to think about that, you know, as you come back to church the next time. Enter his courts, into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with praise, or vice versa. And be thankful and bless his name. Praise God. I had a friend 20 years ago, a Muslim fella, and I would say, how are you doing, Amin? And every time he would say, thanks God, thanks God, thanks God, every time. And that was part of who he was. Well, I wonder when people talk to us, is that what we say? Thank God. I praise God. Not a bad reply. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. I'm thankful for that. And his truth endureth to all generations. Anything else? Let's take a break. I see Terry Strike back there. Hey, buddy.